So we'll just get started in a second. I think we're all right. So this is Alistair Greenhill sitting with Sheila Doe on the 16th of January at her home in Hall Lane, Burwell. So Sheila, if you wouldn't mind, if you could perhaps just start by giving me your full name and where and when you were born.
Yes, Sheila Marion Doe. I was born in Bristol on the 8th of the 6th, 33.
And can you tell me what your earliest memories are of where you lived in Bristol?
I can't remember anything of Bristol at all. I left there when I was three and moved to Mildenhall RAF camp. My father was in the Air Force, and in those days you were moved around pretty frequently.
And so you travelled the world?
I didn't go out of the UK. That was just before the war, and my father was stationed at Perth the whole time of the war. So Mum was everything to us.
So you stayed with your mother in Lickenheath?
Yes. At the outbreak of war, the service personnel, or the relatives of them, were given 48 hours to move out of the RAF camp. And my mother's home was Gravesend, but that was considered a danger area. And we were, wherever there were spare houses in the area, that's where we ended up.
So perhaps I could ask you what your earliest memories of Lickenheath and your house there.
I can remember vividly the house. It was three houses in a little one yard between the three houses, and as soon as we walked in, because there was a lot of us, I was the youngest of eight, and one of these ladies looked at me, picked me up and called me a dear little shim, and that nickname has stuck with me ever since. But where Shim came from, nobody could ever remember. We were absolutely appalled, because living on the RAF camp, there was flush toilets and bathrooms and everything, and moving to Lakenheath, there was nothing. There was a loo in the back garden, one toilet between the three families, no bathrooms, no nothing, but children got by, didn't worry too much.
Did you have to share bedrooms and beds?
Oh yes, as much as three and four, the girls in one bedroom and the boys in the other. But nobody worried, that's what we were used to.
And how many years were you there, all during the war and after?
Yes, we moved there in 1939. And later on, I have no idea exactly when, we moved to another house in Lakenheath. And my parents stayed there until they died. And I moved from Lakenheath in 1950 when I left to start nursing.
Okay. And presumably you went to school.
I went to school in Lakenheath, yes. I started school in Beck Row School. That was the one nearest to the camp at Mildenhall. It was fun, but it was very, very basic. It really was very basic, with outside loos and playgrounds and nothing much else, but they were happy times because we hadn't had anything different. You just completely accepted them because we didn't know any alternative. Walking to school. But it was fun because we all used to collect up and walk together and get up to mischief walking to school.
Oh, I don't believe you got up to mischief.
Yes, we did. We used to scrump apples and everything else.
And how about in school? Were the, can you remember the teachers?
I can remember the teachers vividly. Some of them were dragons, but the headmaster was extremely pleasant. Oh, yes. I remember being hit over the finger, over the knuckles with a ruler because I couldn't get the habit of knitting.
Teaching you knitting?
Yes. I couldn't get the tension right. It was too loose. And Miss Reeve, she used to really get cross with us if we couldn't. But I was all right at needlework, so...
And so that was primary school?
It was just one village school. You stayed there for the whole time, unless you passed the 11 plus, and then you went to school in Bury St Edmunds. Well, I didn't pass the 11 plus.
Right.
I left school at 15 and got a job working in a grocery shop in the village. I knew I wanted to be a nurse, but you couldn't do it until later on. And the village shop was, I got 15 shillings a week, and that was from 8:30 till 6, 5 days, and I did have half a day off on a Thursday.
Do you remember anything about older family at that time, your grandparents?
I remember my grandmother. My grandfather had died by that time. My grandmother was still living in Gravesend. I can remember her dying in 1940. I'm not certain if it was 40 or 41. Because my mother tried to go to the funeral, and as they were crossing London, they used to arrive at Liverpool Street and they had to cross over to London Bridge to get to Kent. And there was a dog fight. And my mother was terrified, and as much as she wanted to go to her mother's funeral, she was scared and she turned round and came home.
So she was travelling on her own?
No, my brother, who was in the RAF on leave at the time, was going with her. Because I had three brothers in the Air Force, as well as my father were in the Air Force during the war. And two brothers were killed in the war.
And what about your other siblings?
Presumably? My other siblings, I got three sisters. They were all older than me. Most of them were away in service for the latter half of the war. One sister was in the WAFs. So there was just my brother, who was 3 years older than me, plus me, were at home for the latter part of the war. But there was the RAF camp at Lakenheath, that there was quite several plane crashes around Lakenheath that us kids were very interested in getting on our bikes to go round and see what we could find. I remember one Sunday evening, because if you know Lakenheath, the camp was in a dip, so the planes had to go up to quite a height. And when they were heavily laden with bombs, they often hadn't got sufficient power to take off. So they came down with their wheels and everything through the village. And this Sunday night, one happened. You could hear the noise of it. And if there was a warning like that, my mother used to put us under the kitchen table. on the hearthrug. And this night in particular, the plane had pulled the chimney pot down. And when the chimney pot came down, this soot came down the chimney onto the hearthrug, and Mother put us on the mat, and we were smothered in soot. And I dare not tell you what my mother called us.
So that was a very close escape then?
Yes, yes, it was. And another time in particular, there was another plane crash just in the field opposite. And the camp used to bring the guards' meals down in the big specially heated things and leave them with my mum to keep until the crew could, or the guards who were guarding the plane could come and eat their meal. And I happened to get yellow jaundice at the time, and one of these airmen, I won't use language, because in those days you weren't supposed to be on a fat-free diet with yellow jaundice, and he said that was a load of rubbish, and he gave me the greasiest meal from the billy cans he could find, and it didn't hurt me, and I ate it. That was a laugh. We used to spend hours with the game of tracking. You would pick up a piece of chalk from the fields and go round the village, and you each had your own little mark with an arrow. And so you could follow each other round the village by just following the arrows on the paths. Another thing that I can vividly remember is when the threshing tackle used to come to the village. We always followed this threshing engine. There was one man in particular that came year after year, and if we took an egg, he would fry it on his shovel for us. He didn't provide the eggs, but he would cook it on his shovel. It was the most dirty, gritty shovel you could see, but we ate the eggs and thought they were heaven.
There was a steam,
yes,
thrashing engine.
Yes, yes, with the big ones with the steam engine, and he was shoveling the coal in, and the fried egg was pretty good.
Did you help at all with the threshing, or were you just...
We were just interested in, you know, watching them. But when they were actually on the field reaping the corn, and we used to use the expression stooking it up, I don't know if it's still used, and there used to be hundreds of rabbits in these stooks, and we used to try and catch a rabbit with a stick. I never saw anybody catch one, but we had numerous fun in trying to.
So what age would you be when this
was? Oh, 10, 12. Mm-hmm. And the very bad winter, I think it was 47, there was a bad winter. We used to go sledging because there was quite a big pit in Lakenheath. And the snow was very bad and very steep. And we had a whale of a time going down this pit on the sledges. It was a very pleasant time. We had nothing, but we didn't miss it because we'd never had it before.
And do you still have friends from that time? From... school to
boys, and... well, I say boys. One boy that lived next to us, he contacted me within the last year, and we have some quite good natters. He has been over to see me, but most of the other people of my age have departed, I'm afraid.
So, You said at the age of 15 you went to work in a grocer's.
Yes.
And that was in Lakin
Heath. Lakin Heath, yes.
What can you remember about working there?
I can remember we had to weigh the sugar because they weren't pre-packed as they are today. And we used to have to pack them in blue, darkish blue paper bags. And Mrs. Coe, who the shop belonged to, taught me the way to fold them in completely so you didn't spill sugar. And butter, cheese, lard and things like that all came up in an enormous block and we had to cut it. But I used to have to spend Wednesday mornings on my hands and knees scrubbing the shop floor completely from top to bottom. But you just done it because it was part of your job. But the shop also was had a baker's shop, a bakery at the back, because they sold bread as well. So you used to have quite some fun with the baker. Used to make you, if he was making cakes or anything, he would use up the odd bits that were left over for cakes for the staff.
So how many staff in total would be working in that
grocery? It was only Mr. and Mrs. Coe and me.
And the baker?
Yes, the baker was there. I can remember the first time he made doughnuts after the war. He came out, his name was a Mr. Palfrey, and he'd been in the army as a baker, and we were amazed how he used to make doughnuts, and they were lovely in them days. I left Lakin Heath in 1950 to start nursing in Newmarket. And when I went to the hospital for my interview, it was in 49, I think it must have been, we could only get a bus from Lakin Heath to Newmarket on a Tuesday. That was the only day of the week there was a bus run. And after I had had my interview, we sat in the Memorial Hall gardens eating cream crackers only, because that was the only points my mother had got left. We couldn't, she hadn't got enough points for sweet biscuits. And then I started there on New Year's Eve in 1949, 1950. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was hard, it was tough going, but it was good, very, very good training.
And did you live in, or were you...
No, you lived in.
Oh, you did there live was, in, yeah.
No, the living in was lovely, all your meals were provided. Your uniform was laundered, your own personal laundry. The nurses' homes had a laundry room for everybody. There was numerous nurses' homes dotted around Newmarket. They used to have a taxi to run us up to work in the mornings and didn't make us walk in them days. When we were on night duty, the night nurse's home used to be right on the corner of the Moulton Road in Newmarket. And you couldn't have your bedroom windows open, whatever the heat of the summer was, because the dung heap of the stables was just underneath our windows.
Excuse me. So you, how long was your training?
Training what, was 3 years.
3 years.
Yes, but when I started, I wasn't old enough to officially start your nursing training, so they were what was called a pre-student. So I had 5 years at Newmarket, and then when I passed my finals, I went to the West Suffolk in Bury for 3 years. But going home for your days off, there was no transport or anything, so we used to cycle. Mm-hmm. And even when I went to the West Suffolk, you could get home by bus, but not very often. But so we used to cycle everywhere. Share bikes, it didn't matter. You'd got your own bike, but they were in the bicycle shed, and if anybody wanted to borrow it, they just borrowed it. On the whole, I've had a very happy, well, childhood completely. And then I married and moved to Burwell in 1958.
Yeah.
My husband's parents had a shop on the causeway. He worked in the shop with his parents, and I continued nursing at Newmarket until I had my son. You could get from Burwell to Newmarket on the bus for 5 days a week, return journeys for 7 and 6. 37.5p for a week's transport. You can't even get a bit of it for that these days.
So I guess nursing at that time was very different from today.
Oh, there was no comparison. We were trained on the job. You worked on the wards and you learnt that way. And just had to go in school once a year. It was called the block. You had a month, 6 weeks in school with a sister tutor, and you learnt your job on the wards, which I consider is the best way, but I'm old-fashioned. Because my granddaughter's doing her training in Hertfordshire, and she hasn't got a hospital base at all. She just has what's called placements. She goes round to various hospitals and departments and doesn't know any of the people she's working with until she meets them.
Can you remember any, shall we say, exciting or difficult times while working at that time in Bury?
Yes, I can remember there was lots of them. I can remember the first time a helicopter landed at the West Suffolk to take a soldier who was injured in a motorcycle accident to a hospital somewhere. And I was on the orthopaedic ward, so we knew what time the helicopter was coming the next morning. It was unheard of then. And we were sworn that nobody was to let anybody in Bury know about it, because they didn't want a lot of people to come to see it. But somebody let the cat out of the bag, because the playing field was crowded. Used to get numerous accidents because Stamford was a battleground for training soldiers, and with road accidents and involving there, the West Suffolk was the nearest place to bring them.
So your husband was working in Burwell at this time now with the
yes.
in the store.
Yes. Yes. But Burwell has changed so much. There were so many shops when I first moved here, right from the very bottom of the village. Right up, there were shops everywhere, but now we've got very few. But it's still an extremely pleasant village. You can do most things in the village apart from shopping if you wish to.
Presumably all the shopkeepers knew each other.
Yes, yes, definitely. We had about three or four fish shops in when I moved to Burwell. Wet and fried fish and chip shops. And there was 5 butchers as well. I think it was 5. 1, 2. Yes. 2 bakers.
In the museum, they have one of these mobile shops.
Yes.
That used to go. Did the business that your husband was in, did they have a mobile shop?
No, they had cycles, radios, bicycles, paint, a typical shop like that. And my mother-in-law had a sweet shop. Mm-hmm. I can vividly remember sweets were still on coupons, and she used to cut a sweet in half to get the correct weight on account of the points. She was a bit of a, well, I would call her a battle axe, a bit of a dragon, and no Burwell people will agree with me.
So I think you said you stopped nursing when your daughter.
My son was born. Oh, your son. Yes. Yes, and then I went back to Newmarket Hospital after he was, I can't remember the year I went back, 1980, I think. So I had a long break, done private nursing in the village.
What did private nursing entail?
It was 2 people that were both in wheelchairs with multiple sclerosis, and they needed a hand to get showered. And things like that. The woman was quite capable of showering herself, but the man wasn't, and we'd always done it, so it didn't worry me. And he used to have a shower 3 or 4 times a week. They had a shower room built, and we used to transfer him to his wheelchair, from his wheelchair to a chair that you could push in the shower. He was some big noise in the Ministry of Agriculture. Came from Norwich.
I guess around that time there'd be more of a community in Burwell.
Yes, much more of a community. Yes, you've got some. Burwell is growing. Well, it's not. Well, it is growing. But there's so many strangers, you've lost the community spirit to a certain degree. But we are fortunate that you've got the day centre if you wish to.
What sort of community activities did you take part in?
The Women's Institute, the United Reformed Church, evening classes. I had evening classes a lot. I'd done dressmaking and cake decorating and all the works in them days.
Do you remember ever seeing the windmill at the museum?
Never seen it working.
No. Do you remember when you first saw it? Is that just when you first came to?
Oh no. The first time we've seen it must have been when we came on the bus. Mm-hmm. Though we were in Newmarket, I used to come to Burwell to the hairdressers when I was nursing in Newmarket, so you saw the windmill then. But it's nice to be able to walk up Hall Lane now and see the sails of the windmill. But the view has been obliterated because they pulled a bungalow down and built two houses opposite the windmill, didn't they? So it's obliterated quite a lot, but you can still see the sails, which are lovely. I used to help to do the refreshments at the museum until my hips and knees packed up, and that was pleasant. But we're very fortunate to have the museum because Paul is so interested in keeping the stories alive that it's well worth it. He's coming to the day centre later this month to do another talk, so we'll turn up for Paul.
Can you remember the windmill before the houses were built? The housing estate was built around it.
Oh, yes. Oh. Yes, I can't remember the name of the Saxon Close wasn't there when I... No, it was just open fields or allotments, I think they were. Yes. My husband's aunt I had for years and years and years. She died at 103. She was born in, I think it was called Bedlam Square, by the side of what used to be the Congregational Church. And she used to laugh. They could put her out of the kitchen window onto Mill Lane because the house was lower than the path. We had Auntie for years and she had got a fantastic memory. She remembered the relief of Mafeking. Her parents brought her down to onto the causeway and she vividly remembered people walking through the village with flaming torches. But the Does were real strong Burwell people. An uncle had the ice cream plant. Used to go round the village selling ice cream in a donkey and cart.
Right, so... Who was that? You said the
my husband's great uncle. He was Matey Doe.
His name was Doe.
Yes, Matey Doe. Hmm. He was Arthur officially, but he was always known as Matey Doe. He also had a newspaper round and he sold wet fish. Hmm. But the older people in Burwell remembered Doe's ice cream for years. They had to give it up at the outbreak of war because they couldn't get the ingredients. But the Americans stationed at Bottisham took over the ice cream plant. And Auntie can remember her father, John Doe, died coming back from King's Lynn on the barges that used to take coprolite to King's Lynn or bring it from King's Lynn. He strangulated a hernia coming back on the barge. And the inquest was held in what is now, or was, the King Billy Public House. He died, I think it was 1902, but she could remember vividly going to the inquest.
Yeah, sorry, what was Auntie's name?
Florence Doe.
Florence Doe.
Yes, she was born in Burwell, but her parents and stepmother died before she was 10, and she went to live in London with an aunt. But when she retired from work, she came back to Burwell to live.
Any other memories of living and working in Burwell?
Not that I can recall.
You said that you used to help at the museum.
Yes.
Right. How did you get involved? How did that come about?
It was just I was friendly with Margaret Moss and Pauline Hawes. Paul's wife used to help her. And when Pauline was a bit under the weather, Margaret asked me, and I done it with pleasure. I used to enjoy that. And then it was, I had my hips replaced, and they are perfect, but now my knees are giving up, so I'm finding it difficult to walk, but it's really not too bad.
So when you were involved with the museum, was that before they had all of the buildings that are there now?
Oh, yes. Yes, it was 10 years since I had my hips done, so it was easy that length of time ago.
Can you think what's your favourite part of the museum?
The upstairs where the photographs are. Are they still up there?
I believe so.
Yes. Yes. Jim Neal used to be in charge of up there, and it used to be nice browsing up there and looking at old photographs.
Do you remember coming across anything in particular while you were browsing?
No, not
really. Any surprises?
No. They've still got in the museum a big glass plaque, P.W. Doe and Sons, I think, that used to hang in the shop.
I've only recently started going to the museum. And I like the telephone exchange.
Oh, yes, well, that's fun, isn't it? And the bus.
Yeah.
I think we're very fortunate to have the museum in Burwell, quite honestly. It really is. Attracts a lot of attention, doesn't it?
It does, yes. Okay, I think we've been talking quite a while now, so I'll stop at that.